Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. The title of this message is Perfect Assurance in Christ. And I want to read first of all from 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We're very thankful for that. Now, in this world of slips and falls, worries, and knowing what we are in ourselves, where is any place of perfect assurance? Well, there's nothing, there is no perfect assurance in ourselves that it is well with our souls, but our perfect assurance rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Look at Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. Believers do not walk after the flesh. Seeking, now, to walk after the flesh, walking in the indulgence of fleshly lust is certainly walking after the flesh, but that's not what the scripture means when it talks about walking after the flesh. Those who walk after the flesh seek to be justified by performing the righteousness of the law. They seek justification through their own works and their own merit, not looking to Christ. That is walking after the flesh, as well as walking after the indulgence of our lust and so on. But more often than not in the scripture, when it speaks of walking after the flesh, it's talking about seeking justification by our own works. The children of God do not seek for justification by their own works, because we read in Romans 3:20, therefore by deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We know that we can't keep the law, that we fall short of the law, and we're lawbreakers. Now the law is one. There's one law. If you break one point in it, you broke the law. You're a lawbreaker. James 2:10. Let me just turn over there and read that. And it's not just any law, it's God's law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. If the arm of flesh, if the arm of flesh had been capable of keeping the law, then there had been no weakness in the law. But according to the scriptures, the law is weak through the flesh. Romans 8:3. We're close there. Let's turn over and read that. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And if the arm of flesh had been able to keep the law, then there had been no fault found in the law. Look at what we had Brent to read there a minute ago in Hebrews 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, that is, finding fault with both the law, because it is weak through the flesh, and finding fault with them who were under the law, that is, those who could not keep the law, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant, finding fault with them, the law and the people under the law. God in wonderful grace promises a new covenant.
Yeah.
Based on better promises and upon a better righteousness. If men had been able to keep the demands of the law, there'd been no new covenant. There would have been no need that God should send his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. There had been no need for a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There had been no need of Christ if we'd been able to keep the law. Look at Galatians 2:21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we were able to be justified before God by our own doings, then Christ wouldn't have had to come into this world. And in that he died for someone, then he died in vain if all men could keep the law. We cannot keep the law. Now look at Revelation 13:8. Now this looks forward to a day coming, or at least in my eschatology it does. And all that dwell upon the earth, all who are earth dwellers, all who are earthy, of the earth earthy, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And from this verse we know that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Now it does not say that he would be slain from the foundation of the world, although in fact he would be slain. But it says that he was slain from the foundation, that he is slain from the foundation of the world. Well, the meaning of that is much the same as what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I am crucified with Christ. He was not nailed to the cross alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was in Christ, in a covenant union in Christ, and in the reckoning of God, he was in Christ and one with Christ in all that Christ did. So when Christ was nailed to the cross, the Apostle Paul and all believers, all who have a interest in the covenant of grace, all who are in that eternal covenant union with Christ, were nailed to the cross at the same time. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the reckoning of God, because of the infallibility of his determinate counsel, he was slain from the foundation of the world. When God determined, when God has willed something to come to pass, it is as good as done. Isaiah 46:10, I will do all my pleasure. Let me just turn over there and read that. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it pleased the Lord to put him to death as the covenant head of all his people. So he is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and that is according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and because of the infallibility of that determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, all who were in Christ were slain with him. Now that's an important point. That is a very important point. The whole gospel hangs on that point. This union, this covenant union in Christ, being chosen in him, we are put in him by the Father. Let me turn back to Jude 1. Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. They are sanctified, or they are set apart in Jesus Christ. They are sanctified, set apart, and it's in Christ Jesus, in that covenant union. The only reason that anybody has any interest in this gospel is because of union with Christ from everlasting. Yes. The only reason that anybody can say, I am crucified with Christ, is because they were in union with Christ when he was crucified. That is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that is every saint of this modern day. That is all of the children of God of all ages were in Christ, nailed to the cross. Believers are already crucified with Christ. They've already answered the demands of the law, both in its precept, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the law, and in its penalty of death. Now, when we are confronted with what we are in nature, when we see the plague of our own heart, when we see the fruit of indwelling sin operating in us, and the discouragements that come with that, it's good to know that we're not in ourselves. It's good to know that we never have been in ourselves, but from eternity we have been in Christ Jesus in that eternal covenant union. That's why you believe, is because of union with Christ. In time, the Holy Spirit, in time, Christ was actually crucified. Well, in time, God the Father and the Son sends forth the Holy Spirit to quicken or give life to those who are in that covenant union in Christ, and it becomes a vital union. We become joined to him by faith. We were saved. Look at, I think it's 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. I think that's where it's at, where I want to go. 2 Timothy 1:9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that's 1:8, 2 Timothy 1:8, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. Well, he saved us, and then what happened? And called us with an holy calling. We were saved, being preserved in Jesus Christ and reserved in Christ from everlasting, and then in time we are called. And how are we called? He gives us life, makes us believe on the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is the highest privilege that can be given to men to be called in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is by that eternal covenant union that we are what we are in Christ Jesus. Go back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews again. Chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. That is, Christ Jesus hath obtained a more excellent ministry than Moses. By how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now the covenant of God is a covenant of promise. It is a free promise. God said, I will. That's it. Over, done, through, finished. God said, I will. And then because he said, I will, he also said, they shall.
Yeah.
I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Now, you had nothing to do with that. I didn't have anything to do with that. God said, I've chose a group of people out of the fallen race of men before the fall. Before time or sin were even known anything about, God chose a people in Christ Jesus unto eternal life.
Amen.
And we didn't have anything to do with it. And we still don't. And so, we don't look to ourselves for anything. We don't trust in ourselves for anything. We have no confidence in the flesh. All our hope, all our everything that we have is by the promise of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've spent quite a bit of time on that, but only because it's very important that we know that everything we have is because of an eternal covenant union in Christ.
Amen.
Now, I hope we never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know the truth, and I think you want to know the truth.
Amen.
We don't want to just be men pleasers. We want to know God in the truth. And because to know him is eternal life.
Amen.
All right. He is the Lamb slain, accomplished, done, over with, before the world began, in the purpose and grace of God. And a interest in Christ was given us according to the purpose and grace of God, of 2 Timothy 1:9, before the world began. We were justified by his blood. Being justified by his blood, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:9, if I didn't misquote it. Let me turn there quickly and look. Much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So it is by the blood of Christ that we're justified through the grace of God. And that blood, in the mind and reckoning of God, was shed before the world was made. And we were in him before the world was made. Now look back at Galatians chapter 2 again. Verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Frustration of the grace of God would be for men seeking to make themselves righteous in the sight of God by their own works, seeking to justify themselves by their own repentance and faith, is the extremity of folly. Now, the scriptures does say that we are justified by faith, but it is faith. By faith, we apprehend our justification in Christ. Faith is not the meritorious cause of our justification. It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the meritorious cause of our justification. Through faith, we understand that we are justified by His blood. Through faith, we apprehend that truth. That is how God deals with us, is by the faith of His elect. Now, the faith of His elect is that is the doctrine of Christ, wherein Christ has set forth as the head of His people, and they are one with Him in all that He has said and done. So, by faith, we understand. Look at Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, faith is how God teaches us. And God the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the new covenant, and when He teaches us something, it is our faith. It's what we believe, because we're taught of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is by God-given faith that we understand that we are justified by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that being in union with Him from eternity, that we are justified in Him by eternity. And because of that justification, God gives us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that doeth these things, those things shall live in them. We did those things in Christ, in that covenant union, and therefore God is righteous. He shows His righteousness in giving that life because of our accomplishment of that righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that makes sense. Christ is our covenant head, accomplished righteousness. And all who were in them, all who were in him by covenant union, accomplished righteousness by His finished work. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can, in righteousness, give us life because we did those things in Christ. He that doeth these things shall live in them. So we're justified in Christ before the foundation of the world, and therefore we are given life, and therefore we can hear. We're given an ear to hear and a heart to understand the things of the Spirit of God. And it is all through that union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of God understand that they were chosen in Christ of the Father and given to Christ of the Father as members in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That is Christ mystical, and that is the head, which is Christ, joined to the body, which is his church. So also is Christ. Now look at verse 27. Now ye, that is believers, are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're part of that mystical body of Christ. Turn back to Romans 12:5. Just look at a few places here in Scripture. Romans 12:5. For we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We are the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant union, and being joined to him and made one spirit, we are the spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ through that covenant union. And therefore, we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and have, if we look to ourselves for anything, we'd be miserable, wouldn't we? Nothing we have is perfect. We don't look to ourselves. Therefore, we rest entirely in Christ. We cast off all our works and all of our anything that we might think give us a title to Christ through ourselves. We cast all that away as filthiness and dung. And we cling to that purpose of God in Christ, which was given us before the world began. And we look to him alone. Now, to 1 John 5:20. And we know, who knows? Those people who were joined to Christ before the foundation of the world. Our faith is solid in him. We're not looking to ourselves. You folks are not looking to me. We're not looking to the old church. We're not looking to anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that covenant that God established before the foundation of the world, Isaiah 49:8, 42:6. I will give him for a covenant of the people. And we know. Now, some people say, well, if you say you know, that's presumption. No, that's not presumption, that's faith. that's God-given faith. We know. We know some things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and so on. We know. And we know that the Son of God is come. That God the Son is come in human flesh and in order to die as our representative and head. In order to fulfill that which was determined before the foundation of the world. He is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And he came to be slain. But we see not yet all things put under his feet, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He became a man in order to die as the substitute of those who were in him by covenant union.
Yeah.
he got the job done. When he died, all his people died under the law in him. Therefore, every demand of the law has been satisfied for us in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. He has given us an understanding by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, 33. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Well, who is it that teaches us to know the Lord? It's God the Holy Spirit. That's how we know God, is by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and we know God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll speak to that just a little bit more in a minute. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. We're sinners in our sight, but we're not sinners in his sight. He said, I will remember their sin no more. All right. So he is the teacher of the New Testament. Christ's blood is the blood of the New Testament that seals every gift of the New Testament to those who have an interest in the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the New Testament. And it is his office to teach the children of God. Isaiah 54:13 says, And thy children shall be taught of the Lord. That is, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Thy children, all of those who have interest in that covenant of grace, who have promised in Christ Jesus through that covenant union, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. What is it he teaches? The knowledge of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:45, And they shall be all taught of God. Who are they? The children of the covenant. Those whom God loved in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Who makes the difference? God made the difference before the world was. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou receive it, why dost thou boast as though you received it not? Why do we get puffed up and say, I've done something, when we've done nothing? Without him, we can do nothing. So to know him is eternal life. Look at John 17:2. John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, look at John 14:9-11. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Well, Philip had asked a question. He said, he had told the Lord Jesus, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, or it'd be sufficient for us. And the Lord said, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 8. Then verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 through 6. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know God the Father in knowing God the Son. And knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, back to 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding by that teaching of the Holy Spirit, that we may know him that is true by knowing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the Son by the doctrine of Christ that we hear preached. Now, if I stood up here and I said to you, Welcome to the Lord Jesus. Who would you come to? If I stood up here and begged and cried and moaned and went on, you wouldn't know where you were going. If I invite, if I beg, if I do all that foolishness, if I say, Here's Christ, come and take Christ, but I haven't revealed Christ by the Scripture. We don't invite, we preach Christ. We preach Christ Jesus. We preach the doctrine of Christ. And that unveils Christ to the children of the covenant. And the Holy Spirit carries that to their heart. And they get to know someone. They get to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faithful men of God preaching the doctrine of Christ. And they know Christ, and in knowing him, they know the Father. Whom to know is life eternal. Well, they don't give any invitations down there. Who did I invite you to? You wouldn't know who to come to if Christ wasn't preached. We preach Christ Jesus crucified. Mm-hmm. We don't invite. The Holy Spirit does. He says, come hither. Yeah. He draws with an irresistible power by giving new life. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Look at 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, which reveals Christ, which unveils Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, is doctrine important? People say, I don't want to hear about doctrine. That's just stupid. If we don't know doctrine, we don't know Christ. If we don't know the doctrine of Christ, we don't know a thing about Christ. People say, well, the Lord has told me. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord speaks to us through these words that are written down in this book. He don't speak to us by what I just know by some inward voice, which is my evil heart speaking to me. One fellow told me, well, the Lord told me to stay away from that doctrine of predestination. Stay away from that. Well, it's written in this book. The Holy Spirit, I don't believe he made a mistake in writing it down here. That's foolishness. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If we join with them in religious fellowship in a lie, then we're partaker of their evil deed. We cannot fellowship with a lie. We just can't do it. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know that. We're taught of God. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God. One God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, known by knowledge of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that God purchased his church with his own blood. That's our assurance. That's our assurance. That's our hope. That we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. Preserved in him. Let me read you one more scripture. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Well, I'll read verse 1, 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Now that's who this Bible is written to, as to the church of God. It's not written to the world. God does not love the world of unbelievers. He loves the world of his elect. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When did that happen? We are preserved in Jesus Christ in an everlasting covenant made before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, a covenant without beginning, because Christ Jesus is the covenant, and he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Christ Jesus is the Christ as he is joined to his people. If he had no people, there'd be no reason for the Christ. There'd be no office of the Christ. There'd be no one who needed a priest, a mediator, and a surety. You cannot speak of Christ scripturally and spiritually without speaking of the union that exists between him and his people. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, because sanctified in him, called in time, God hath saved us and called us, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Amen.